Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Before we get to dreamy singer Justin Utley, I don't want flies landing on me while I'm talking to him, for God's sakes.
Flies, mosquitoes.
Yes, yes. Listen, bugger off bomb is the stuff that dreams are made of. I'm telling you, I had a bad bite recently.
That's you go for a walk in this crazy park where there's like paleolithic animals and bugs.
Yes, and I don't like putting chemicals and poison on
it's
me.
It's gross.
And it smells icky.
No.
Bugger off bomb to the rescue. If you're back east and you got like Jurassic Park size stuff with wings.
Oh, hell no.
Hell to the no. Bugger off bomb, man, it's DEET free. It smells good. It is made with non-GMO soybean oil, beeswax, rosemary, thyme, geranium, citronella, cedarwood, basil, and eucalyptus essential oils.
Wow.
That's like everything.
OMG. It's all packed in a handy little 2-ounce tin. Why is that good? Let me tell you why. Because you can just toss it in your purse, in your backpack, in your whatever, and it's not liquid. It doesn't
leak. It's not going to spill or get all over the place.
Right. I'm telling you. It is so easy, and it smells fantastic, and it works like crazy. Just for our listeners, Bugger Off Bomb is offering 15% off when you use the code SEXY. Go to buggeroffbomb.com. Use the promo code SEXY at checkout. That's right, 15% off by going to buggeroffbomb.com. Use the code SEXY when you're checking out. Not for use as a deterrent against Zika or Lyme disease. If you live in or visit high-risk areas, you'll need something stronger. That is buggeroffbomb.com. Don't forget to type in SEXY. We have a dreamy, hunky singer here. Happy, happy hour. Justin Utley is here.
Yeah.
Look at you and all your beauticiousness. Oh, my God. You have a gorgeous voice. I just watched your video this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a cool little twist of fate. It was supposed to be the pop version of the music video, and I was just playing around on the piano during another session, and it turned into this orchestra piece.
So, well, yeah, you know what's gorgeous. So interesting is I said, because Chris has worked in country radio, mm-hmm. and in some write-ups I'm reading about, you know, that you're country, and I was like, that doesn't sound country, and Chris is like, well, nothing does in country now at all.
Right, right. It's all good Taylor Swift-ized.
Because you sort of, you have like a pop version, and I mean, you just have a gorgeous voice to
Thank
me.
You.
It doesn't even matter what the...
Thank you.
I read about you because Representative Sean Maloney, you said, thank you, Representative Maloney, for helping tackle this issue head on. Mm-hmm. He tweeted, a survivor of conversion therapy, Justin Utley still bears the scars. It's the name of your album. Meet the singer who's using his music to help stop the harm being done to LGBTQ people. Yeah. What great timing. We just talked about today. The latest from the Trump administration is them trying to pass legislation that lets businesses discriminate against LGBTQ, among others, based on religious. Well, so yeah. You grew up
and then
Mormon.
It's like government contractors too. So it's like like taxpayer money. This isn't just private businesses either. It's like this is like a bad, dangerous precedent.
Well, right, but I mean, first of all, what a fascinating story. You're like Boy Erased meets like the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, I remember when that audition was posted in New York, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what this is going to be about. Should I audition?
Which one?
For Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon. Did you love it?
I absolutely loved it. My family was like, you know, I heard it's a bunch of lies. I'm like, actually, it is pretty accurate. I mean, it's great. And I feel like if you can't laugh at yourself in your own culture, you leave it to someone else to do a little less kindly.
And the church seems to have embraced it a little bit.
it.
I think they had to.
Yeah.
Like, there is like a warm message at the end of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's right. Like, you know, believing in
it.
Something.
It was a loving mockery.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They do it with a fake smile. We really love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
They put out an ad in the Playbill that said, you've seen the show, now write the book.
Yes, yeah. As Stephanie and I saw it together, and we saw that ad in the Playbill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about our date.
Yes, that was our one date.
Yes.
We went to go see Book of Mormon.
Yeah, it didn't. That date turned us both gay. So wait a minute, because I have to say, Boy Erased was really powerful, and I'm reading this first story about you. When Justin Utley saw a preview screening of the new film Boy Erased, mm-hmm. he was so affected by its portrayal of a controversial gay conversion theory, he drove around Salt Lake City in silence for 2 hours with painful memories tugging at him. That was tough to watch and so powerful. But for you, I can only imagine. Tell us your whole, grew up Mormon in Utah. You underwent gay conversion therapy between 2002 and 2004, right? You realized you were gay shortly after your return from an LDS mission.
Yeah.
Seeking help from a religious leader, he was recommended a therapist who Utley says promised him help with changing his sexual orientation.
And the crazy thing is like the more people I've met through this process, they're like, well, I didn't really go through conversion therapy. It was more this retreat or this camp or a specialist, and they'll just helping me develop the feelings I should have as a father and a husband. And I'm like, that's the same thing. It's just they're calling it by something else now, because like no one wants to put a sign on their door saying I'm a conversion therapist. Like,
right.
You know, it's
what
like,
percentage of those people end up being gay themselves?
I would say probably 99% of them are.
Yes, working out their own issues, perhaps.
And it just blows my mind, like that. Like when I tell people about the stuff that I'm doing, and they're like, "Well, is that even a thing? Are people still doing it?" And it's like, "Well, yeah." And that's the problem, that it's gone so off the radar mm-hmm. that it's still happening, and you just don't see it. Like,
what is conversion? What do they do to you?
Therapy. I'm getting to this.
Okay.
All right, fine. Whatever.
She's right. Is it something you want them to do to you?
No. I'm
just curious.
Great question, though, because I wondered the difference, because in this article it says one of the models of therapy messes is your parents are responsible for you being homosexual. They have you develop this rage against them and beat these images of them with baseball bats.
Yeah.
That's your famous.
Yeah, my ex-husband
mother,
did that.
What did you do to me? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you said you didn't, your experience was not as extreme, but you did feel depressed and suicidal after your experience.
Yeah, well, they told me that I had been sexually molested as a child repeatedly, and I just didn't remember, and that had to have been what caused me to learn these behaviors, and that, you know, my anxiety would trigger this. So I was put on this cocktail of medication. Like, one of them was for war vets, basically, for PTSD.
Boy. Oh, God.
So I was on that. I did that for 2 years and finally realized, like, this is bullshit. Oh, can I say that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, in fact, this was the longest time anyone's ever gone without saying some shit on the happy hour. This is the whole point of the happy hour.
Don't mind the ex-Mormon in the room. You're fine.
Yes.
And it wasn't until my mom caught word of what was going on, because I didn't come out to my family that I was gay. I came out to them that I had been sexually molested. And so they went on this pseudo witch hunt to try to figure out who in my neighborhood could have done this. And like, thank God they didn't find who they thought did it, because then what would have happened to their life?
So wait, who... You were sexually molested?
No, I wasn't.
No? Oh, you weren't?
No.
He was told he was.
No, it was so awful, I just didn't remember. It was this repressed memory syndrome, something.
Wait a minute. But so obviously some of these programs differ, because when Chris asked, like, what did yours entail? So this part cracked me up. You said you group therapy setting where healthy male touch was encouraged just confused him even more. He said many of the participants messed around with each other after sessions.
So it was like, well,
touching the other men in the group is supposed to cure you of your
The idea is that you didn't have enough affection from your father or enough male bonding experiences, and so like these guys would like hold each other, and it's like these healthy touch sessions. And you know, if you gained like a crush on a guy, you would obviously want them to be your touch partner. And like,
it seems like speed dating.
Excuse me. Not only am I not cured, but
oh, it absolutely does. And
not only am I not cured, but now I've had an erection for more than 4 hours. Someone
call a doctor or don't.
Right.
Actually, who's the doctor?
We are calling so much bullshit in this podcast and this happy hour. There's a lot of people we need to tell to bugger off. Anyone involved in reparative therapy, bugger off.
Yes, bugger off.
I wonder if bugger off bomb would work.
I don't think so.
My bugger off bomb.
It keeps annoying pests away.
My bugger off bomb is my new best friend, because I had a nasty bite, right? And you know me, I don't go to doctors because I'm just whatever. And it was itchy for like 3 weeks.
Scritch, scritch, scritch.
Scritch, scritch, scritch. Not in a good way.
And we had to hear you complain about it for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
If you had bugger off.
I thought the venom was on its way to my heart. I barely survived. And then ding dong in the nick of time, bugger off bomb arrived at my door.
No more bugs.
I love it because I never used bug spray because I hate smelling like chemicals and DEET and Okay. Bugger off bomb. DEET free. Smells good. Made from non-GMO soybean oil, beeswax, rosemary, thyme, geranium, citronella, cedarwood, basil, and eucalyptus essential oils. Ooh, I'm going to only attract the right kind of things. Not bugs.
That's right.
Wow. Smell like you could eat me with a melon baller.
So you could come back from a hike without any bugs, but maybe something else.
Chow.
Yeah.
It comes in a little handy 2-ounce tin, so I can take it for a weekend trip somewhere if I want to.
Ooh.
How did this turn so dirty? Just for my listeners, Bugger Off Bomb is offering 15% off when you use the code SEXY. Go to buggeroffbomb.com. Type in the promo code SEXY at checkout. That's right. Get 15% off by going to buggeroffbomb.com. Use that code SEXY at checkout. Homemade in small batches right here in the Pacific Northwest. Ooh. Oh, I can smell it now. Not for use as a deterrent against Zika or Lyme disease. If you live in or visit high-risk areas, you'll need something stronger. That's buggeroffbomb.com. Type in the code SEXY.
Yeah, so there's these different types of it. So they kind of have it spread out among this like myriad of possibilities as to why you're gay. Like either your parents weren't there for you, or you were molested as a child, or you didn't have enough male bonding experience. And so there's always this explanation environmentally and psychologically as to why you have this condition. And they treat it like it's an illness of some kind, and it's just frankly not. So there's no way they can pull anything that would actually explain away what they were trying to change, because there's just nothing.
Just
to
your
fix.
Explanation makes you realize how incredibly ridiculous and dangerous it is. It sounds so cookie cutter. It's you were molested. No, I wasn't. No, yes, you were. You know, you hate your parents. And no, I don't. Yes, you do.
Right, right. And this religious bias that kind of was obviously underscoring it all is, I mean, it's supposed to bring your family together, but it like tore mine apart. Like my dad felt awful for not catching this
imaginary person
for doing this to me. And then actually what broke the cycle is that he called my mom and was kind of like, well, how could you let this happen? And she's like, what's going on? Because I didn't tell her.
Yeah.
And she called me and she's like, I don't know what the hell is going on, but like you cannot blame a repressed memory of something that never happened on what's going on in your life. I wish you would just tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, the cloud started clearing a little bit, and I was like, well, maybe I need to try something else because I've been doing this for 2 years and there's guys at this therapy. Because I was going to a group therapy and then a one-on-one therapist through LDS Family Services. And, you know, so it was a combination of talk therapy, psychotherapy, and then a group support therapy that had like conferences and retreats and things.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this isn't working and I don't want to do this for another 10 or 15 years like some of these guys. And still sit in that same boat and just think, oh, well, if I die, then God will take it from me then. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. And here's the part. I'm a crier. I don't know if they warn you, but here's the part where I'm going to cry. But once you decided the therapy wasn't working, you quit, got a boyfriend. Your boyfriend suddenly died of a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
And the Mormon, your Mormon bishop told him he wouldn't have to go through this grief if he hadn't left therapy and pursued a relationship with a man. Oh, that must have made that pain exponentially worse.
Said that Brent was taken away because I wasn't supposed to be homosexual. And so that was kind of this moment of realization of, you know, you've been able to play these fear tactics on me before, but you know what? This is bullshit. Like you didn't know him. You don't know him. You didn't know what existed between us. And yes, we were both in this space of, I don't know what we are, but we cared about each other. It was my first experience with a guy at all, like outside of this therapy. And now you're telling me like he's an expendable human because he wasn't Mormon. Like it's awful.
There's so much bullshit in your story that I can't call bullshit enough times on this happy hour podcast. But there is too much bullshit into.
It's like entrusting those parts of your life to a person that's not even a licensed therapist, first of all, or even if they are a licensed therapist, they shouldn't be. Because it's supposed to be any mental health or person like that's licensed is supposed to abide by a code of unbiased and evidence-based treatment. And this is absolutely no evidence to support that it fixes or treats anything because it's not a mental illness.
You know? I had a pre-cry to get ready. It was foreplay for my major cry.
Right.
I'm getting ready for the end of this
up.
Bullshit podcast. But Your testimony for Equality Utah, I mean, the way you describe it, you said the journey to begin to love and accept myself was not an easy one, but once I took a chance, opened my heart, I met and fell in love with someone that would change my life forever. Meeting Brent was one of the best things that ever happened to me. One day after work, I received an email from Brent's brother letting me know that Brent had suffered a very sudden and unexpected heart attack and passed away. And you talk about how you couldn't even go to the funeral because you neither of you were out.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had the funeral in Oklahoma, and his brother just said, you know, we're just collecting some emails from friends. We thought maybe you'd want to write something, and I just, it was really rough.
Yeah.
It was through that process that my boss at this credit union was reading my emails and found out I was gay and asked me point blank, are you homosexual? And I'm like, well, way to go clinical, but sure. And it doesn't have anything to do with my job. And she's like, well, yeah, it does. We wouldn't have hired you had we known. And so I soon found myself out of a job, and Utah didn't have any protections at that time, which is why I spoke at that hearing.
Yeah.
They finally did pass a law, but as I'm finding out more and more as I spend more time in Utah, there's all these little back deals and amendments that happen after some of these bills. And apparently after this one passed for discrimination in job and housing for LGBT protections, the governor signed a bill that undermined it. There hasn't been a case to test it, but basically if the business or property has a contract, a major contract with a religious organization, they can claim religious exemption from the law.
Yeah.
And that's what Trump is pushing for.
Right.
That we're back here.
Right yeah. now, yeah. as yeah. we speak.
In 2019.
It's insane.
I mean,
it's insane.
By the way, there was another little scoop of bigotry in your original story. She mentioned there was a woman more qualified than me who had interviewed for my position, but they didn't offer her the job because they had seen one of those equal stickers on her car and assumed mm-hmm. she was a lesbian.
Yep, yep.
She said she wasn't judging my lifestyle, but preferred not to have people, quote, like me working there.
Yep.
I mean, this is where I thought, like, wow, maybe we do live in a little bit of a bubble here in LA, because I'm like, oh, this shit happens, you know?
Yeah.
I mean...
I called like Lambda Legal and ACLU, and they're just like, we just suggest that you move. I'm like, but I shouldn't have to do that. Like my feeling is like, it's kind of, I don't know, hashtag Stonewall 365. Like the whole purpose of that was to stop being treated like second class citizens. And that's still happening. Mm-hmm. Even in Salt Lake City, where it's this little liberal hub of Utah, it's still happening.
This is such a powerful your testimony when you say, when in the course of those couple of weeks I lost my job, the person I love, my faith and my community, there was an extremely low part I strongly consider taking my own life. But then you say, I'm standing here alive because of three things. First, the unconditional support of a wonderful mother who refused to allow me to continue to believe I wasn't worth loving. The rest of the members of my family soon followed suit. Boy, that makes all the difference in the world.
And you know what, if I had come out honestly to her, I don't think I may have had to have gone through everything that I had if I would have just been trusting enough. And that's one of the things she told me. She's like, well, now I don't get to meet someone that was so important to you. So please don't let that happen again. Yeah. It really changed everything. She had actually, when I attempted suicide, she followed the police and to make sure I was okay. And I didn't know that. So when I met, you know, if you're going to harm yourself, then the police have an obligation to make sure you're okay. When I arrived at the place that we were supposed to meet, I saw this police tape and some flares, and I got out of my car, and this police officer, she said, are you Justin? I said, yes. She put me in the back of a car and locked it and walked away. And I was like, what the hell's going on? And I look over, and it was my mom's car that was underneath this truck, and Dodge Durango or something, and they were pulling her out of the window because she had followed the police to make sure I was okay and ran a red light. And so I spent hours in the waiting room of the ER at the hospital, and she comes out with this crutches and things around her neck, and she just said, you know, if this is what it takes to let you know that you're loved exactly the way you are, then I'll do this again. And that's really the pivotal point when it changed. And I know there's kids out there that aren't as lucky as me to have a mother that would just love unconditionally and very pragmatically.
Yeah. Jason, that's an important message. I've said this before, that I took years to come out to my family. My mom, you know, I'm crying like crazy. My mom just started crying. She's like, oh, honey, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
I mean, and I thought, wow, I lost like 20 years of closeness
totally,
with my family.
Totally.
Like, mm-hmm. I was so afraid they were going to judge me. I was judging them. I'm like, oh, they're Republican. They're Catholic. They're not going to.
Yeah, totally.
You know.
Totally.
And I had, you know, I was a lipstick, I guess, and I had just enough boyfriends, and I was just ambitious enough.
Yeah.
But they really didn't know. They just thought I didn't care about boyfriends because I was, you know, wanted a career. And
my mom said, I thought you just had commitment issues. And then she said something later down the line, not in the same moment, but she said, you know, you did throw up a lot on my tits when I was trying to breastfeed you as a baby. And I said, Mom, first you just said tits, and that's just full stop right there.
First of all,
secondly,
I love that you're all a family of potty mouths. I know.
But definitely
Mormon,
my mother.
Mormon poppy potty mouths.
Yeah,
I love it.
She's Italian, so I get the passion from her side. But like, it was, I know, we've gotten this amazing relationship now out of it that I wouldn't have ever had I kept this.
Yeah. So, I just love it. Any mom that says tits, I love it. A rack. I once told my girlfriend's mom she had a nice rack.
Well, I post some of our conversations that I have with her via text. I post them on Instagram sometimes, and she texted back once. She's like, you just told, no, she said, I just saw that you performed at Pride in Salt Lake. That's great, but I saw a picture, and, you know, it's a shame that my gay son has better tits than I do. Like, there we go with the word. And so she... reposted that on Instagram.
You need to do another. Remember the really popular book, Shit My Dad Says?
Oh, no.
Yes.
You got to do
Shit
My Mormon Mom Says.
Yeah, yeah.
About
her
gay son.
Yep. Yeah, I should.
Oh,
I've
awesome.
Posted a few conversations, and people have actually said, this needs to either be a sitcom or an ongoing thread that you have.
What's my friend? Remember we had in that, oh my God, my longtime friend, Crazy Jewish Mom? It's the same thing. She publishes just the text. Her mother texts her like 40 times a day, and they're hilarious.
Yeah, she's like, well, one of them was just this random, are you still Gold Star gay? And I'm like, you know too much. How do you know that word?
Mom's not supposed to know that.
Right. And I'm like, you know too much. Why do you know this? And why are you even asking? Yes, of course I am. She's like, well, I'm just asking because, you know, I need to know these things.
I am because you said tits too much.
Right.
And your mom would know if you're a platinum gay.
You're like, I threw up on your tits. What else do you think?
Well, I told her I want my long form birth certificate because I don't believe I came out of your vagina. This is just not going to happen. Because when I explained what a Gold Star gay was, I haven't touched a vagina. And she's like, oh, you've touched mine. I'm like, no, you're not going to count that.
They should do studies on whether gay men are like born early because they like can't wait to get out of a fucking vagina and they're never going back.
And that's why we're screaming
when
they hit us on the back. We're finally just catching our breath out.
Oh my God. Through the darkness.
Exactly.
Right.
That was me going, ew. No.
Ew.
Don't.
That's the last one I ever want to see.
I got a platinum star husband.
Oh my God.
That's right.
That's awesome.
What does platinum mean?
C-section.
C-section.
Oh.
He has not touched it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He was like, hold up in there, like, I'm not coming out. I'm not going through that thing.
And she doesn't want me to either. Believe me. Like, my mom said, and besides, you're the only one that gave me stretch marks out of the three. I'm like, thanks. I think.
Well, you were like, the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I didn't have any. I didn't have any bone structure. I think for at least a year, because every picture they have of me, I'm kind of this ball of. Like cream cheese just kind of dripping. Like my brother's holding me and it's like, is that my head or my feet? Because it just looks like a giant mouth with two dots for eyes and just, yeah.
Did they not ever wipe the afterbirth off? What's
no,
going on?
No, no. And actually, my mom
Ew.
Thought I was the wrong kid for a little while because I didn't look anything like my brothers. And I just, that's another story. But yeah, there's no pictures of me as a baby in the hospital. My brothers both have pictures with my mom because they were adorable, and I'm just this giant amoeba.
I've never forgotten some joke from a guy at Yuck Yucks 1,000 years ago. He's talking about the birth of his son, and he's like, this is the most beautiful moment of my life, and I'm there, and I'm waiting, and I'm watching, and here it comes, and it's a boiled monkey and cheese sauce.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was the cheese sauce, apparently.
So the new Survivors is the debut single, right?
Yeah.
From Scars, which is the album.
Again,
can we hear a little the pop version, right? I just want to, because your voice is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Just let's hear a little. Dedicated to people who have gone through reparative therapy.
My bags are packed, I'm on my way. searching for a new start. Forget about the words they say. Done tearing me apart. It's time to find my wings and something to believe. When the sun is shining in your eyes and the stars are falling from the sky so high, we're survivors.
Wow.
All I ever want, the air I need, here
wow,
I am.
Wow, wow, wow. We're going to play a little of the next one. Gorgeous, gorgeous.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So I, you know, I'm reading the whole, obviously, Mormon home. But when you first started, you said you believed your same gender attraction was an addiction, a disorder, a learned behavior. Mm-hmm. So you talked about medication. What is there something they consider anti-gay pills? Like what
well, they thought because of the childhood trauma I suffered that I had.
Allegedly.
Yes. I mean, and they had me, geez, over the course of weeks and weeks, like, starting to remember like these pieces of this memory, like oh I think I remember the wallpaper color or the carpet, the floor,
yeah,
you know, something on the wall. And it was just like, you know, think back to a time in your childhood of a house that made you uncomfortable that you walk past. And you know, I thought, oh my God, this is
once again
is,
calling bullshit.
They're creating traumas in your head.
Yes, right. Oh yeah. And in fact, I went to a psychiatrist because I'm still on one of the medications because I can't come off because it was a big dose and like my brain needs it and there has to
see, this is, I hate to say it, it's where I kind of start to understand a little bit of what Marianne Williams is talking about. No, this is just a personal thing for me and I get it that it saved some people's lives and I don't want to, but I have a friend that killed herself when she went off Paxil. Mm-hmm. And you remember there was a lawsuit from a lot of, you know, friends and family of people that, and you describe it as it was to help suppress your feelings and it just seems like that part I get when people say that. Well, first of all, I'm just not a fan of the pharmaceutical industry. Right, I feel like they overprescribe stuff that might be just situational sadness. Mm-hmm. Or like you just said, like they were causing your trauma and your...
Yeah, that's what this doctor I'm seeing now, he's just like, you know, I would actually be prescribing this to you from the trauma they created.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And
I'm
so...
afraid to mess with brain chemistry like that. And I do get that when it's situational sadness that they're overprescribing. And then, like you say, you can't get off because then it's worse.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I've tried the different methods and stuff. So they're looking for an alternative. But for now, it's just like, well, just stay on until we figure out something else. Yeah. But I mean, it was basically all these drugs were to help suppress not the feeling, but it was almost to just make me numb emotionally, which was then, you know, just making me completely numb to life.
And right.
Sure, it worked, but it didn't take away the attraction.
It took away the joys as well as the pain.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like,
can you imagine, I mean, how much this could be avoided by just, and I don't want to blame religion for everything, but just being able to grow up as a normal, healthy, gay kid.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's none of this. There's none of this. Yeah. I mean, it's like, we were all bullied, right? I mean, childhood's hard enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't about even being gay then. It just... Yep.
And like, I've talked to a couple of groups of social workers at the University of Utah in some groups, and some of them were interns at the LDS Family Services, and they've definitely changed their MO. And they're telling some kids like, hey, maybe you just need to take a break from the church for a while and figure out who you are, which is pretty forward thinking. The problem is, though, is that's kind of, it differs between therapists to other therapist offices. So, like, the message isn't consistent. So there's other therapists saying, no, this is something that maybe we can fix. There's also this idea that now they're kind of encouraging asexuality as a way to just keep you in the church. Yeah. Like, oh, well, no, you're just not attracted to anything.
Right.
You know, like, oh, you're confused. That means you're not attracted to anything. So now you can still stay active.
So how were you on religion now? And Mormonism in particular?
You know, when I left Mormonism, it actually wasn't due to being gay. I mean, I was trying to stay. I mean, that was the whole point of the therapy. It was actually when I had found out some of the problematic stuff in their history that was deliberately hidden, basically.
Yeah.
And I felt a little duped because I, you know, served a Mormon mission for them. And I felt like, why didn't you give me the whole story before I went and sold it? That's not fair. You know,
do you believe in God still? Do you consider yourself agnostic?
Or? agnostically ish, but more of like a humanist, where I feel like, honest to God, we have the power in us to change things. We have the power in us to destroy things, to create beauty. And I think that God is in us. Like we are the ones that are responsible for changing things and making things better. And instead of praying to someone in the sky to take care of someone who's hurting, we're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I'm doing what I'm doing. Cause that's what I believe.
I love this. Your career took off when you performed at the Winter Olympics 2002.
Yeah. I did a regional stint of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh my God, I love that show.
You must be Mormon. you're a closeted Mormon.
I was in love with Donnie Osmond.
Yes, exactly.
And he played Joseph. Okay, all right.
Yep. And you have nice teeth.
Thank you.
I mean, that's also a very.
I could have been an Osmond after my dentistry.
I think theirs might be two at this point.
Yeah.
So I did that, and that kind of sprung me into some of the other musical theater realms of things. And then I got asked by the governor to be in the 2002 Olympic opening ceremony reception. And I thought it was spam first, cause I'm like, what the hell, this is not possible. But it was really cool. And it was at that point that I kind of, after the Olympics were over, I started doing some gigs, a couple in LA, Nashville, and New York. And that's when I decided to move to New York, cause nobody really makes it in Utah. It's a place that people are from.
Yeah. Except the Osmonds. They had their studio.
True.
Can I ask one Olympic related question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Curling. What the fuck?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Although maybe it's cause I'm getting old, but I find it very relaxing to watch.
Yes. It's hypnotic.
Like, wow.
See, if it was Summer Olympics, I would have said pommel horse. What the fuck?
Yes, but, yes, okay. Yes. I think we need to bring back some of like the old school stuff. Like, hey, let's get this like gladiator stuff going on. Because if you're still doing curling and some of this stuff.
Do you like gladiator movies?
I do, actually, some unknown reason.
That's a gay joke.
Must be part of my same gender attraction disorder.
So your single Stand for Something, that was 2010, was a marriage when the whole marriage equality debate.
Yeah, I had. That's kind of when I felt like what I had to say was connecting to people. I'd written that out of frustration when Prop 8 went down, and I just felt like, you know what, this is bullshit, and this wasn't supposed to happen. And if enough people had gotten off their asses and voted, we wouldn't be in this situation. And that's kind of what
remember
the song
that was
about.
Yay, Obama won't wait. What about the us, gay? Huh?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah. Exactly.
Can I just say, more bullshit has been called in this happy hour.
Yes.
I am so happy because I thought, he's Mormon. He's not going to swear. He's not going to drink. But he has made up for it in tits and bullshit, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Let's listen to a little of Scars. Is that what we have?
This one drops next month, correct?
Yep, on the 10th, yeah. This was actually originally a rock and roll song. It sounded like a Foo Fighters track.
I had a friend who used to say he's waiting for a better day. He watched the clock, but in dismay, he saw his time just slip away. He never thought he'd live to tell he was in.
Thank you. It actually all changed. I was speaking at a suicide panel at the Sundance Film Festival last year, and I was speaking on conversion therapy. And some of the other panelists, one was a trans woman, and we talked afterward, and I had sung Survivors as part of the gig, and she turned her arm over, and on the inside of her forearm was the word Survivors.
Oh,
wow.
And then she pointed out that on her legs, I was asking about the story on her tattoos, and some of the tattoos on her legs were to cover the scars that were left by her parents whipping her with a belt buckle. For wearing a dress. And that's actually the moment I went back to the studio and rewrote the song to be what it is now, because before it was this big loud rock and roll song, and I felt like that moment changed it completely, and I felt like it needed to pay more homage to people that have had those scars that have cut so deep that they're going to be there forever.
Yep.
And that we should actually celebrate those and remember them instead of trying to hide them, because that's what makes us who we are beautiful, really.
Yeah. Yeah, so. You're saving lives, my friend. Yeah,
trying.
You are.
Yeah.
Doing it one gig at a time, hopefully.
And you're super pretty.
Thank you. I like you, too.
Super
you know
pretty
what?
Voice.
Most of the women I had crushes on in high school are lesbians.
Yeah, well,
which,
well there you go.
So
my high school boyfriend turned out to be gay.
Awesome.
Yes.
See, it all
we,
works
we
out.
We thought we weren't fucking because of Catholicism.
It's such a convenient excuse, though.
We're Catholic.
I can totally relate. I have to go on my mission first. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
Get your hands away from me.
Jason Utley, singer,
Justin,
songwriter.
Justin,
sorry.
You said Jason. Oop.
What did I say? Justin Utley, singer, songwriter, survivor. How do we, do we have a website? Do we have a word?
Yep.
Do we,
Justin
how do we
Utley,
worship you?
JustinUtley.com, and you can kind of find me out from there. But I'm on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and Instagrammies and all that stuff.
So you can purchase your music, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Buy his music, support his causes, go see him live.
Exactly. Follow his Instagram.
Yes, happy hour.
I'll post more stuff about my mom.
Yes.
I promise.
Tits. I just want the opportunity to say it more. That and bullshit. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Randy Rhodes, host of the Randy Rhodes After Hours podcast. If you love this episode, you're going to love the whole show. Every week we talk about everything that matters to you, from our future as a democracy to our existence on this here planet. Find it all at sexyliberal.com on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and anywhere and everywhere you get your podcasts.